from real proper gospel ministry. We want you to keep praying to know God better. Do you notice what he then says? If you just look at it in the Bible, if you've got it open, page 1182. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. Now, I bet you when people read that, they say, think straight away, some people, ah, that is about, well, something about my personal life. Maybe where I should live, or what job I should do, or maybe what subjects I should do at school, or whatever. Can I say that that was not in the Apostle Paul's mind? We've got to ask the question, what is the knowledge of God's will? The knowledge of God's will. We want to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Well, we look at the rest of Colossians, don't we? And actually the Bible, but let's just do Colossians, okay? So you've all got an envelope with treasure in. You can now open your envelopes and look up what is in your envelope. Look up the verse. You'll need your Bible. Okay, parents, you'll need to help children. Have you opened yours, Trevor? It's on the inside. If you don't tear it, I might be able to use the envelope again. Right? So we're thinking about praying to be filled with the knowledge of his will. What is the knowledge of God's will? Well, let's look at the rest of Colossians. Okay? We're going to just look at some verses. You've all got different verses. Look at all of them. And let me just say that some of you will say, well, I'm not quite sure how this applies to me. I've got the verse about children. No. Think about your grandchildren, if you've got grandchildren. I've got the verse about work. Well, I'm retired. Well, this is something you can pray for somebody else, whatever. Okay, but let's look at the rest of Colossians. So, just says in the verse, being filled with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So the Apostle Paul is saying to them, as you look at what I have preached and written to you, this is the knowledge of his will, and the Spirit will give you wisdom and understanding. This is an understanding thing, okay? That the Spirit longs to give as we look at his word. So let's look at the first verse. Who has got 2 verses 9 to 10? Who got that? Good, thank you. Graham at the back, all right? Okay, now look at this verse, because it's very important in Colossians. Here is the knowledge of his will. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Wow! For in Christ, all the fullness of God lives in bodily form. This is God walking on this earth. And in Christ, you Colossians have been brought to fullness. Or as it, I remember, you have been given fullness. So, the first thing about the knowledge of his will is to realize that every Christian, when they trust Christ, has been given fullness in whom? In Christ. So the Paul is praying, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of his will. Where do we find that fullness? It is in Christ, and we've already received it. That's a bit odd. So, of course I'm to grow in my understanding and with wisdom of all that Christ has done. Let me illustrate. Last week, I got my new iPad, 10th generation. Look at that, you see. Look at it, it's marvelous and it's so beautiful because it's Apple and you pay lots of money for it to be beautiful, you know, but there it is, you see. Now, I got this. Now bear with me when I say this. I have fullness. I have everything that Apple want in my iPad, all right? Now, it breaks down because somebody's already till the next one, all right? But in this one, I have fullness, okay? Now, when I got this, I straight away, being the complete ignoramus that I am, didn't really know much about it. But I have it, and it's all in here. It's all in here. And straight away, Colin Budenberg said to me, when you've settled down, I'll show you a few things that it can do. Nigel Reed did the same thing. I'll show you what it can do. I needed a teacher, all right, to show, actually, all the fullness that I have. Okay? Now, I know that that illustration breaks down. You don't need to tell me that. I've been thinking about it all week. But it does illustrate, because, of course, the fullness we have in Christ is actually much more significant. Let me just show you. Somebody may have had this verse. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were created. So you have fullness in Christ. Paul is praying for a knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we suddenly twig, actually, in our Christian lives, that this Christ whom we have, wow, he's the firstborn. He's in charge of all creation because all things were created by him and for him. Suddenly twigs, wow. Okay, next one. Christ is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. So he's been raised. He has supremacy because he's been raised from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy, both over the old creation and the new creation. And the new creation is those Christians, first, who've trusted him. And it's also the new creation that he's bringing into being. He's supreme. And suddenly you twig that. Now, you had that, so to speak, supremacy in Christ when you trusted him. But suddenly you, through spiritual wisdom and understanding, as you've been prayed for or prayed for yourself, you suddenly realize that Christ is supreme over all things. Wow. And that's what Paul is saying to the Colossians. Understand, grow through what you already have. Here's the next one. Somebody had this verse. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you, brought you back into friendship, might be the way we say it, made peace by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. So he's died to bring us to God the Father. Wow! And you suddenly twig that. We'll come back to that. Okay, what other verses? Now, this is something that's going to come. I'm not going to say much about this. But Paul says he wants to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. Wow. So there's an open secret now. What's the knowledge of his will? It's Christ. That had been kept hidden, not absolutely clear in the Old Testament. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles, that is non-Jews, the glorious riches of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So it's fantastic. You suddenly realize that this Christ is for all peoples. He's not just a little God somewhere. He is the supreme Lord who is for all peoples. So we grow in the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That's what we're praying. That's what Paul prays for them. Okay, 320. Who had 320? Yes, what does it say? Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Oh, that's the knowledge of his will, isn't it? It's the verse we first taught Johnny and Ben. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Okay, let's go on. That is praying for the knowledge of his will. That's the revealed will of the Lord in Christ, that children obey their parents in everything. Am I allowed to say that? Yes, of course I am. That is the will of the Lord. Trevor, what was your verse?
Very aptly chosen, I think. Yeah, fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged.
Wonderful, right? So the children think, oh, look at that, and then I put the father's one in. That is the knowledge of his will. All right? Here's one for work. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So in Christ, this is the way we should live. So the knowledge of his will is who we are in Christ, and obviously all that goes with that in Colossians. And let me say, the rest of the Bible, because that is the revelation of the Lord's will. Let's stand to sing, shall we? And we're going to learn a new song about prayer. Paul's praying for them, and we should pray as well. They're going to go through the first verse, aren't you? And the singers will lead to the first verse, then we'll stand up and join in. Okay? Okay, do sit down. So what more does Paul pray? Just look at the Bible. He says this: we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Look, so that... We need to be turned over. Is it me? Thank you. It's not. Thank you. All right, look at this. So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. So I've shortened that to live pleasing the Lord. So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. So if you have the knowledge of his will in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can please the Lord in every way. And then there are four phrases that follow, wonderful phrases, that show what it means to live pleasing the Lord. The first one is bearing fruit in every good work. Bearing fruit in every good work. I'm not going to say much about that, except to say that he said just in verse 6 that the gospel's bearing fruit all over the world. So as we realize that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord, the gospel, that will bear fruit in our lives. Bearing fruit in every good work. Then he says, to live a life pleasing the Lord, growing in the knowledge of God. So how to live a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in every way? You grow in the knowledge of God. Well, hasn't he already said that? Yes, he's already said that. But the way to please him is to grow in that knowledge of all that you have in Christ. Here's my question. To please someone, you need to know them and what chocolate they like. So here I've got two plates, one of plain chocolate and one of milk chocolate. And I'd like any young person who'd like to come and choose the chocolate they like so I can know them better. So who'd like to come out? Can I say, we have a food technologist in our congregation. It probably won't pass muster this, but I have washed my hands in cutting this up. So if anybody, young person, would like to come to the front and have some chocolate, do come to the front and pick what you'd like. Come on. Okay. So there's plain chocolate here or milk chocolate here.
I thought that was dark chocolate.
Well, it is dark. I call it plain. Dark chocolate, sorry. Plain chocolate. What would... So, right, you don't... That's milk chocolate. Here's the plain or dark chocolate. Sorry, I call it plain, dark chocolate. Okay. All right, so you like that, so I know you better. What would you like? I think you'd like that. Ooh. Okay. Now, if I was to bring round, all right, okay, and I'll put these out later, okay. In order to please you, I need to know what kind of chocolate you like. Some of you will remember the story about Uncle Desmond coming to the Julia's family Christmas. It's still a marvellous story that makes me laugh. That Uncle Desmond had come to Julia's family every Christmas for 25 years, and they'd always given him a bar of plain dark chocolate, all right? And then, about the 25th occasion he was there, I was there, and as he opened it, he said, I don't like plain dark chocolate. It was priceless, because for 25 years they'd been giving to him something that he didn't really like. They didn't know how to please him. I don't know if next year they gave him milk chocolate, but growing in the knowledge of God The more we know God, the more we know how to live pleasing Him. And it's a great prayer, isn't it, that he prays at the start, to fill you with the knowledge of His will. It's all there in Christ. All there in Christ and how to live for Christ. But you grow in a life pleasing to the Lord. It's like a circle. You grow in knowledge and therefore you know how to please Him. All right, you grow in more knowledge and so on. It's a wonderful, wonderful prayer. And then look at this phrase, verse 11. Can't say everything about it, but isn't this marvelous? Where do we see the power of God at work? He prays. This is how to live a life pleasing the Lord in every way, a worthy of the Lord, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Isn't that extraordinary? Where do you see the power of God at Trinity? Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. So it's all about God and His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. So I always say, endurance in difficult trials, keeping going, and patience with difficult people, keeping loving. And do you know, I see the power of God at Trinity all over the place. It's not in the spectacular, it's in the everyday. Wonderful thing to pray. And then lastly, joyfully giving thanks to the Father. And we'll come to that in a moment. Let's sing again, and then I'll come to the last part of the talk. Love, joy, peace, patience too. Grow in those who trust in you. Let's stand to sing. Do sit down. Okay, final thing. That phrase. Joyfully giving thanks to the Father. Isn't it wonderful? Joyfully giving thanks to the Father. Thirdly, because God has qualified you. God has qualified you. Now, in Colossae, there were people going around who were saying, well, you've got Jesus, but you're not quite there. You're not quite there. You need this little extra. And what Paul's going to go say in the letter, actually, no, you have fullness in Christ. You have everything you need in Christ. You need to grow in knowledge of Christ, as we've seen in his prayer. And he says, look, God has qualified you, joyfully giving thanks to the Father, because God has qualified you. Now, here are my qualifications, and I'd like some of the young people to read my qualifications. Oxford and Cambridge Schools Examination Board, 1974. Who would like to read what I got? You can do that one. Do you want to read what I got in that one? Anybody else want to can read? All right? Here you are. Here you are. You can. Right? I know you weren't volunteering. All right? Okay, Oxford and Cambridge. Now, I worked really hard. Don't laugh. I worked really hard to get these qualifications. What did I get, Zoe?
The following texts are at an extraordinary level. French with literature, English language, history, Latin, additional mathematics, general science.
Thank you. What else did I get? German. German, thank you. What did I get?
French and maths.
So I qualified in those things because of what I had done. All right? But we joyfully give thanks to the Father because God has qualified you. Now, I want you to see the qualification that you will have. Now, what I want is the young people to come and give one of these out to every single person in the congregation. So we're going to need lots of volunteers. Do not open this again till I say. Okay, so there you are. Okay, so give one to every single person. All right, anybody else to volunteer to give one out yet? Thank you. All right, so everyone needs to receive one. Okay, do you want to give them out? Do not open it yet. I need to keep one just for myself. Thank you. Okay, one for every single person. Don't open it yet. Thank you. I want to keep those. Might need it for another job. O levels, do you remember them?
Yes.
No. It really dates you, that. Note they didn't put the grades on as well. Interesting on those. That, on that certificate, I noticed. Okay, well done, young people. Have we got one? Here are. How are we doing? Okay, let me take some. Just let me take some to him. You take one. Who hasn't got one? Everybody got one? Good. Okay, here are. Anybody else not got one? Just hands up. Good. How could you not give one to your mother? Okay, I hope I've got enough, because everyone is qualified. All right? Anybody not got one? Okay. Anne hasn't got one. Right. Okay. Good. Zoe hasn't got one. She was giving them out.
I've not got one.
Okay. Right. Now, this is wonderful, isn't it? Because God has qualified you. So just open up. This is the qualification that you've got from God. Look at that. That's something to pin up on your fridge, isn't it? Because God has qualified. You are qualified because of what God has done through Jesus Christ. And in Colossae, again, almost certainly, because he uses this word qualified, there are people who are saying, you're not qualified. You're not quite there. I mean, you have Jesus, but that's not enough. You need this experience. You need this rule. You need this way of doing things. We're going to come to that in the letter. But Paul says, look to the Colossians. He says, look, this is the way to live. Of course, you're joyfully going to give thanks to the Father. He's praying that for them because God has done it in Jesus Christ. Everything that you need. He is the all-sufficient Savior. He's done it all to bring you to God the Father. And the Christian life, we pray for everyone, is growing in all the riches and treasures that we have in Christ. If I was to just to go on looking at those verses, it talks about forgiveness, it talks about redemption. We've been moved from the kingdom of the Son he loves, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Wonderful blessings. We grow in those, in him. We say, hallelujah. Here you are. What qualifications have you achieved because of your work? This is entirely what God has done. There you are. You can see at the end, verse 14, in Christ, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And we grow in the knowledge of Christ, joyfully giving thanks for all that he has done. He is the all-sufficient Savior. We do not need anything more. And the Spirit loves to bring us understanding and wisdom of that. So don't let anyone disqualify you. Grow by knowing God better through all the fullness you have in Christ. And we're going to see that all the way through the letter to the Colossians. Okay.